Bless the Lord and sing His praises. Bless the Lord now, O my soul. Join the song all heaven raises. Let the anthem loudly roll. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord for love victorious, love that conquered on the tree. For His grace so great and glorious, flowing out from Calvary. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, He walks beside me, and He lights the path before. Every need is now supplied me from His bounteous heavenly store. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord for truth He's given, for the word of prophecy that has drawn the veil from heaven and revealed my destiny. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Now let's look in Luke 2 together and see what it has to say to us this evening. What we have is the birth of a child, not just the birth of any child. Don't tell how many other children were born in Israel this night, but there is no birth like this child's. Every birth of every child is a great blessing. Mothers look forward to it, they want it, fathers look forward to it. Everything is wonderful most of the time. A soul is brought into existence, but the birth of this child that we're going to talk about tonight is the most blessed birth of any child since the world began, from between the eternities. This is the blessed birth of God's eternal Son, and this is God's revelation.
Yeah.
God's revelation, and His revelation is in His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle because God was manifest in the flesh. He said unto you, is born this day in the city of David, the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, Jehovah. That's what he's talking about. Jehovah's come here. And oh, what a miracle it was that God would come down. And you know, we just had, I got thinking about all the gods that the Greeks have and the heathens have. And just like we just went through Valentine's Day, one of the Greek gods that they have is Cupid. He's supposed to be the god of love. He shoots his arrows and makes people fall in love. And us pagans being what we are, we just make a big deal out of that. If you don't get a card, and you don't get candy, and you don't get a flower, if you don't say Happy Valentine's, don't call somebody your sweetheart, you're in trouble. You know, that's a pagan. It's one of the Greek gods, like Mercury and Jupiter. And but here we've got a god, and all those gods had a flaw in them. And that's why they had to have so many. They had one for each thing that went on. But here we have one. One, and there's no flaw in him. One God, one Savior, one Lord, one birth, and one God, God manifest in the flesh. One thing for man, and you know those gods would be united with flesh to some way, and there'd be a weakness in the flesh. But when God was manifest in Christ in the flesh, it was sinless flesh, just perfect flesh, just holy, immaculately holy. And then all of the blessings that came to man through the birth of this child. It had been promised since the beginning of Adam's being put in the garden and expelled from the garden, all the way through the Old Testament, here his birth had come. And all the blessings. We're standing here tonight enjoying the blessings of what happened this night in Bethlehem. What happened this night. And so I want to talk about God's Christ being God's revelation. When it was done and how it was done. First of all, we know that our Lord was born of a woman. But look at the time. Look at the time. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone, to his own city. Now see, what happened here is this. You know, it's like taking a census. They not only tax them, but they want them all in the cities that they're born in, where they're originally from, so they could put them on the rolls and keep track of them and to tax them so they go to their own cities. And the time was when Augustus Caesar, and this is the first Caesar, this is the first Roman emperor. Rome had just conquered the world. This is the very first Caesar. There's multitudes of Caesars. This is the first one, the first Roman emperor. And he sent out a decree to the world, not only in Israel, but to the whole world, that everyone should be taxed. Got to come up here and pay your tax, you got to be enrolled. We want to know where you are, so every time your taxes are paid, we'll know who you are and who's paid them and what you paid and what you owe. And oh, beloved, this, and then it says here this decree went out. And all the wisdom of God in planning all events to bring to pass His will. Do you think that this man here had any idea that when he sent out this decree to tax, that there had been a decree given from all eternity that this was the night that Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem? And that God, in His infinite wisdom, raised up this man to send out the word, a decree that all should be taxed, so Mary and Joseph would be in Bethlehem exactly at the right time so that His blessed Son could be brought into this world. He thought he was doing exactly what he wanted to do, but all he was an instrument in the hand of God Almighty. He made a decree. But his hand was in the, his heart was in the hand of the Lord, just like the rivers are. He turns it wheresoever it will.
Amen.
And they didn't have no idea that though he was a king, he governed the world at this time, that there was coming one into this world who is the King of Kings and had dominion over him, and he only had his throne because of this one that was coming into this world. Oh, so it was all the time and all the wisdom of God. You see, known unto God are all His works from the beginning. And everything happens. Everything happens exactly at God's time. We talk so many times about the hour, the hour, the hour. Everything has a fixed time in this world.
Right.
Every single, there's a time and a season for every purpose under the heavens. And so if God has a time, and David said, "My times are in thy hands. My times, how long they are, I don't know. What my conditions are, I don't know. My getting up, my going down, my times are in your hands. You do with me. And that's the way, and that's what this fellow's way. He didn't know it. But his times was in God's hands. And he sent out the decree. You know when he sent it out? When it's God's time. Oh, listen. Next time you get to mention, now this is true. This is true. You know, I don't care who's in power, who's got the reins of the government at any one time. He's there, and all he's just another instrument in the hand of God. That's all he is. And we can lay back and rest because God's going to bring his will to pass. Ain't he? And then look at the place. In verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. You see, it wasn't Nazareth where the Lord Jesus was going to be born, though he was called a Nazarene. And everybody said, just Jesus of Nazareth. Raised in Galilee, raised in Nazareth. But you see, he wasn't going to be born in Nazareth. The scripture said hundreds and hundreds of years before he came, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, let me read it to you. But thou Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, just a little old bitty, and it's still an insignificant place. Bethlehem is still a little old small village over in Israel. And the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Now watch this. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So he's in Bethlehem, the city of David. Why is he in the city of David? Because he's the son of David. Because he's got the throne of David. So he's born in Judah because he's of the tribe of Judah. And God ordered all this to bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. And oh my, our Lord, in Bethlehem. Here's the thing. Bethlehem was 70 miles from Nazareth. And these are poor people. Us going 70 miles, that's nothing. Absolutely nothing. But for these folks to get up, and she's pregnant. It says here in verse 5 to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. They hadn't even got married yet. Espoused. Being great with child. Pregnant. Heavy with child. Going 70 miles. Oh my, people would, that's the awfulest thing in the world. Well listen, she's God's. She's in God's hands. You think God's not going to take care of his child and the woman is bearing his child? But God brought all of them. They have to go 70 miles to be where he's supposed to be born. Supposed to be born. He's not supposed to be born in Nazareth. He's not supposed to be born in Galilee. And that's how many times did they say, the Messiah is not supposed to come out of Galilee, out of Nazareth. They missed the whole point that our Savior is born in Bethlehem. And then look at the circumstances. And so Mary, his mother, was great with child. And oh, she was, oh my, she's just right on the verge of having a baby. And so it was that while they were there, when they got there, when they arrived, got into Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. In other words, it's time. The fullness of time had come. That's exactly what happened here. He wasn't going to come a minute too soon. He was there on the fullness of time. And all beloved, he wasn't. And it says here, and she brought forth a firstborn son, and the son firstborn wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't born at home. He was born in a strange place, in a strange city, in a strange place, among strange people. And he wasn't born in an inn. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in a nice home. He was born in a stable. And there was no cradle prepared for him. He was laid in a manger. And he is wrapped in swaddling clothes. And swaddling clothes, I looked that up today. trying to see what in the world they are. And I guess they're long strips of cloth, and they take those things, and they're so wide, and they wrap things up in them. You know, you remember the baby in Ezekiel 16 that no eye pitied you or nobody swaddled you. In other words, they wrapped you up in a cloth. You know how we take babies and wrap them up real tight so they can't move? Well, that's what she does. She took these cloths and she wrapped him up real tight, just like you do little babies. He's born, she cleaned him up, washed him up, and I tell you, people seem to think that she probably didn't have no labor. You ever known a woman have a child without having any labor? Huh? Oh, they say this, you know, the birth of Christ was so easy, and just as sure as God's on His throne, she went through everything that any other child goes through coming into this world. Sure she did. And oh my, and then He wrapped them in swaddling clothes because there was no room for them in the inn. Now here's another thing about the wisdom of God. Now here's, you know, if I'd have been there, and this is what most of us would have done, if we'd seen a pregnant woman come in, we'd have said, "You let her have my room. I'll go out sleeping in the barn." If we'd seen a pregnant woman coming in, fixing to have a baby, you know, we get up out of our seats on buses and subways, say, "You take my seat." And here she comes, and she comes into this inn, they didn't have no room for her. But that was in the wisdom of God. God didn't want him born in that. He wanted him born in poverty. He wanted him born in the lowest station. He wanted him born so he could identify with the poor and the poor could identify with him. And here he was. There was lots of people going and coming. Lots of strangers going and coming. Everybody's come to be taxed. And here they are, the circumstances. There's no room for them in the inn. There's no place for anybody showing them any compassion, any mercy. And people coming and going. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes and he's laid down in a stable. And now look here at God's method of revelation here, showing his blessed Son. In verse 8, "And there were in the same country, now Bethlehem's that little old bitty village. They're out on the hillside somewhere, and the shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were just doing what they'd done. They wasn't expecting anything. And look what happens while they're out there keeping watch. They're just working. They're working men. Laboring men. How do you know it wasn't easy to be staying out there at night with a bunch of sheep, goats, and taking care of them? And here they were. They're out there on the hillside. And all of a sudden, there they are, minding their own business, doing their work. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them." An angel of the Lord came on them. And watch what else happened to them. "And the glory of the Lord shone round about them." And that glory there is the Shekinah glory. The same glory that come down in the tabernacle. It's the same glory that come down on the mountain. And there was that great cloud that descended that kept, you know, that you know it was God. It was the glory of God and the Shekinah glory that come down. It's a cloud that descended. And this glory came down. This glory with this light and this presence and power of God came with this angel. And look, it says, they were at that night, they were in the night watching. And this night is symbolic of the darkness and the ignorance that men was dwelling in at the time. The sin, the darkness of sin, the darkness of death, and the religious darkness. It was at night. And oh my, they were sore afraid. And you find throughout the scriptures, when an angel of the Lord come to someone, 9 out of 10 times they got afraid. First of all, because they thought the angel came to kill them, to destroy them. And secondly, they felt their sinfulness. Remember when Manoah was out working, an angel appeared to him. Told him what was going to happen to him. He ran back and told his wife, said, "Oh, we're going to die. We're going to die." "What do you mean we're going to die?" He said, "An angel appeared to me today and told me to come back up here. And if I go back up here, he's going to kill me because I'm so sinful." His wife said, "If he intended to kill you, he'd have killed you then. So let's go back up there and find out what he wants." And that's what happened here. These men were so afraid. That's one reason why this generation has no fear of God. They've never seen the glory of God. They've never had any understanding of the glory of God. All they see is the glory of man and man's power and man's ability and man's free will and man's rights. That's all they know anything about. That's why he appeared at night in this darkness and ignorance. And here we see another instance of God choosing the foolish to confound the wise, the weak to confound the mighty. Huh? You, who is it this angel came to? And who did the glory of God appear to? Who did the Shekinah glory of God come to? Huh? Shepherds. Shepherds. Not scribes, not Pharisees. Not priests. Not preachers. Not the guy that runs the synagogue. No. Shepherds. Just common, ordinary people. And that's who our Savior. That's why the Scripture says the common people heard Him gladly. And here, look what a message they gave these shepherds. Oh, what a message. In verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because listen, I'm bringing you some good tidings. I've got the best news you'll ever hear in your life. I've got some good news for you. I've got some good tidings for you. I'm going to tell you something that without the grace of God, you won't believe it. Apart from God making it known to you and revealing it to you, you won't believe it. And that's why He sent me. That's why I manifested His glory. Because you won't believe it. Because I bring you good tidings. And this good tidings is going to bring great joy. Great joy. And not only that, but it's going to be to all people. It's not going to just be to the Jews. It's going to be to Gentile and bond and free and male and female. It's going to go to the heathens. It's going to go to the Gentile. It's going to go in all the world. Yeah. Huh? And what is this good tidings? What is this great joy that you're going to tell us about? That's going to be such a blessing to all people. And oh my, have you ever heard those good tidings? And the great joy that comes with those good tidings? I heard it. And an angel didn't tell me either. No, the Lord Himself. But here's the news. For unto you... Now, He didn't say unto us, angels don't need a Savior. Angels don't partake of redemption. But unto you sinners, unto you shepherds, unto you men, unto you that are sons of Adam, is born this day in the city of David. They knew that that's Bethlehem in the city of David. What? Who's born? A Savior. He didn't say which is going to be a Savior, which is going to try to save, which hopes to save, which has intention to save, going to do his best to save. Just the very name Savior tells you that he's going to do what he's sent to do. If he don't save, then he's not a Savior.
That's right.
His very name tells you that he accomplishes what he's going to do. People say, you know, the very thing, if you just think about that, a Savior. A Savior. A Savior saves. He don't try. He don't want to. He don't intend to. He doesn't do the best he can at it. He saves. Ain't that right? Oh my, just His name. If folks would just stop and say, well, yeah, He's a Savior. He's a Savior. And He's born a Savior. He was a Savior when He was a baby. He was a Savior when he is 10. He was a Savior when he is 20. He was a Savior when he is 30. He was a Savior before he came into this world. He was God our Savior before he ever come through the womb of a virgin.
Amen.
Ain't that right? And oh my. And who is this Savior? He's Christ. The Anointed One. The Messiah. The One promised. And He's Jehovah. That's who He is. Christ Jehovah. That's who the Savior is. Only God can save a sinner. Only God can put a man's sin away. Only God can make a man acceptable. Only God can provide a righteousness. Only God can wash away a man's sin. So God comes in the person of Christ one night in the city of David in Bethlehem. And Christ come into this world. And not only that, but He said, I'm going to give you a sign so that you'll know what I'm telling you is truth. Watch this. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. You're going to be exactly where I tell you you're going to be. You're going to be dressed like I told you. You're going to be laying where I tell you. These men didn't have a clue what was going on. They they're out there minding their own business, and the glory of God and the word of God came down. Huh? And oh my. And you'll find him there, and suddenly, oh, this news, you know, they say that the scriptures tells us that there's joy in the presence of God over one sinner that repents. So you imagine the joy here of our Savior being brought into this world. That this is the night that he's to be born. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, blessing his holy name, like she sung tonight out the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was in me. Bless his holy name. He heals all of our diseases. Forgive all of our iniquities. And watch this. And all they were saying, glory to God. Glory to God. And the highest. He's the highest one. And let's give him the glory to the highest that we possibly can.
Amen.
He is the highest, and let's glorify him to the highest of our abilities. And then on earth, peace. Oh, peace. This peace here is not talking about peace of heart. This means that God's going to come and establish peace. He's going to make peace, but he's going to slay that enmity that's in a man's heart. And goodwill toward men. Oh my, how good is the will of God toward men that he would come in the person of his blessed Son. Oh, how good is the will of God. How blessed is the will of God that he would manifest himself in such a manner that his Son would be born of a woman, that his Son would come in Bethlehem, a little old insignificant place, that he would be born in a stable, be laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he would be a Savior. He would be the Christ. He would be Jehovah, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, has God got a good will? Huh? Oh, what a good will. And then look how these shepherds react. And it came to pass in verse 15, as the angels were going away from them back to heaven, they stood there and watched them come, listened to their message, and watched them go. You're standing out here watching a bunch of sheep, and all of a sudden the heavens light up. Angels begin to sing, they get a message, and they just stand there and listen to that glorious song. Hear the angels sing, the choir sing, and watch them go back. And they looked at one another and they said, oh my, let's go right now. Let's go to Bethlehem. Now the angel didn't say Bethlehem, the city of David. They knew who the city of David was. That's the city of the king. The city of the king. And see this thing which has come to pass. Didn't see this thing which they told us come to pass. To see this thing which has come to pass. Oh, they believe what that angel said. It's happened. It's happened. Watch this. And how come they know it had already come to pass? Which the Lord hath made known unto us. Are you ever going to know what happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago? The Lord hath to make it known unto you. And he comes and tell you what has come to pass, not what you got to do. Something's already been accomplished. Something's already been done. Something that's already in the past tense. And oh, wish the Lord. Let's go see now. Let's go. And they came with haste. These fellows got in a hurry. You see, they believed the message. And they came with haste and they found Mary. And they found Joseph. And the babe lying in a manger. That's what they told them they'd find him, didn't they? Ain't that what they said? You're going to find him? You're going to find him laying in a manger? Go find him there? And oh my, just exactly like it had been told them. You see, it's impossible for God to lie. And oh my, look what happened now. Now how long they stayed there, what they talked about, God only knows. We certainly don't. But I mean, they didn't just walk in there and look at him and turn around and walk out. There was some conversation went on. There were some things that went on. And they said, the angels came and told us. And they said, this is the Christ child. This is the Lord. That he's the Savior. He's the one that was promised. And do you know anything about this? What do you know about it? What's God made known to you? And I'm sure they had conversations like that. And then after they saw that, when they had seen it, they went out and told it everywhere that they went. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. That's what you wanted, that newspaper article. You wanted that sent to somebody so they'd know what was concerning this child. And oh my, can you imagine if somebody walked up to you and said, you know, we was out last night, minding our own business, tending the sheep, getting ready to lay down and go sleep, and all of a sudden an angel appeared to us. And this light shined, and this cloud came down, and we heard this angel begin to tell us. And he told us about a child that was born in Bethlehem, that was laid in a manger, and that this child was the Savior, that this child was Christ, this infant was the Lord. And then they began to sing and bless God and praise God, and we went and we saw it ourselves. Now, if somebody come up and told you that, what would you think of them? You know, you would, you'd say, my goodness alive, what have they been into? But oh, they told it. They would tell it everywhere they went. Said, we saw it with her. We went and looked at it. He told us where we'd find him. Told us how we'd find him dressed. Told us where he'd be laid. And oh my. And oh, that's what we do. God helping us, we want to just... And you see, they just told what they seen. They just told what they seen with their own eyes.
Yes.
What they heard with their own ears. And that's all we can tell, is what we know and seen for ourselves. I can't tell you except what I've seen for myself. And you can't tell me except what you've seen. And all of us don't see things the same way. All of us don't relate things the same way. All of us don't experience things the same way. And so these guys came out, and that's why when Paul was told, said, you just go and tell what you've seen and what you've heard. And that's all we can tell. And that's all they did. You're seeing these angels here, and look what happens now. And all in verse 18, and all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They went off wondering, pondering, as the old timers used to say, they studied about them. Sat and studied about them. Well, Elbert Blaylock used to call me all the time and say to me, he said, Brother Donnie, I've been studying. That didn't mean he was sitting down with a book, reading. That means he'd been thinking, been pondering, been wondering things. And that's what these fellows are doing. They're pondering, they're wondering, they're considering what these men had told them. But watch this. Now, oh, and them shepherds came and they told what had happened. And told Mary and Joseph what had happened with the angels and how they sung and how they went back to glory and the message they gave them. And Mary kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. Oh my, what in the world is... And the shepherds returned. They went back to work. They went back to the fields. They went back to their calling. And they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And watch this. As it was told. It was told unto them. And ain't that the way it is with us? Huh? We praise God and glorify God for all the things that we've been blessed to hear and see, just like it was told us. And they was told what they told what had happened, not what was going to happen. And they said the same message that we got. They went and told what had happened.
That's right.
And that's what we're doing. We're telling what happened. Ain't that right? Telling what happened. Our blessed Savior, oh glorious Redeemer, thank you for allowing us this wonderful privilege to gather. And indeed, it's a blessing, it's a privilege to be with the people of God. And oh Lord, we just skimmed the surface this evening. So much to be said. So much that needs to be said. But oh Lord, if you let us live, if you let us continue, we'll just keep saying the same things over and over again. What's been told is what we've seen, what we've heard. tell what you made known unto us. And we thank you that you did. We were as shepherds. We were in darkness, though. We were in ignorance. We were in death. We were in sin. And you came to us. And you shown us your glory in the blessed person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be your holy name for that. Meet the needs of these saints here, those whose bodies are sick and weakly. We ask, O Lord Jesus, that you strengthen them. Those, Lord, who are going through trials, we ask that you strengthen them. Give them grace. We know you will. O Lord, meet the needs of this congregation of people, of dear saints of God. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.